listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Go to hobby craft shops and things like that and do things that I wanted to do for me, but I had to, you know, I didn't work, period, in prison. And then one thing led to another one, man, and I kept getting into altercations. You know, guys thought they could take advantage of
it. So that extended your...
Oh, yeah.
Because you got in fights.
I got a lot of them.
Did you have to stab anybody?
I got a lot of that.
Because I had a fellow in here recently, you know, and he said he saw his mother raped in front of him when he was 11. The guy got out of prison 2 weeks later.
He killed him.
Yeah. And so at 11 years age, he was convicted.
Yeah.
Do you know Bruce? If not, I got to introduce you to Bruce.
No.
Yeah, I want you to meet him. But, and he went to prison, and he had to kill somebody else in prison. Otherwise, he had to establish you didn't mess with him.
Yeah, because...
And he went to federal prison.
Yeah. You know, like, my state...
But he knows the Lord now.
Yeah, like me, like I know
Came to know the Lord in his 40s.
Yeah. My mother, when my mother passed away in 2000, I told you, I was in prison. I was in the hole in prison because I did something to somebody...
And what's the hole? Explain how
the
bad
hole
that is.
The hole is like jail in jail.
Like jail in jail.
I'm in a cage, you know.
In a cage.
I'm locked up in the hole. We call it the hole in prison. Is consolidatory confinement. I'm there, and I was in that hole for 6 months at that particular time.
Now, is there light in there?
Oh, yeah, there's light in there, but there's nothing else in there. But
toilet?
A bed. There's a toilet and a bed. That's it.
Are you allowed to go out at all?
When I was there, I was only allowed to, I was taking, they give us a shower 3 times a week. And
what about walking outside?
No, you just can't walk outside. No,
they don't take you for a walk once a day? No, I thought they had to.
You know, they don't have to do anything. Not here in Florida. They're supposed to. They're supposed to give you like when I was in the hole, I was like, get what they call rec time. It's supposed to be like an hour. But you get a guard that's on, that doesn't want to be do anything or don't want to do his job, then you'll be back there for days. You only get back while you're back there in the hole. You only get 3 meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You don't get nothing, no commissary. You don't get no mail. You don't get anything, you know?
Window?
Yeah, but a window, but it's about this, about 6 inches to 6 inches. And that's the only for the light to come in.
How do you not go nuts?
Well, after you do it, so much, like, when they gave me those 30 years, I was like in a whole nother zone when they gave me those 30 years. But I had to finally come to grips and understand that I'm not leaving here until it's time for me to leave.
Now, when did you come to know Jesus?
Before that
or after that?
No, I found, while I was in, okay, listen. This part of, when I told you I saw in God, I started practicing a different religion. And one of the religions that I was practicing is one of the languages that I also speak. I was Muslim. I speak Arabic just like I'm speaking to you right now in English. I became a Muslim in prison.
And I've seen you recite things.
Yes.
You probably know the Quran by word.
Yeah, I know a lot of it.
So God gave you a memory. You're a very smart individual.
Yes.
God gave you a great gift.
Yes. It's like the literature and the meetings. I know them all by heart.
Yeah. You know the Bible that well, too?
Not really.
I want you to.
Not really, I don't.
But I want to hear about this and the Quran and everything.
You'd
be perfect. You got to study the Bible because you can. Now, wait a second. So you were a believer. You were a Muslim.
Right. I speak Arabic like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim al-Hamdulillah ar-Rahman. That's part of an Islamic prayer. You know, and I said,
now, so now you believe in Jesus?
I trust and believe without a heart, without a shadow, without that Jesus.
Okay,
Christ,
so
my Lord.
Now
I will tell you how I
converted. I want to know.
That's what
how
you
did you convert from Muslim?
From Islam
Islam to Christianity.
Okay. It was kind of difficult.
I don't think you told this story when I heard you speak
yet. Yeah,
this is good. Oh, this is
but
good.
But this part right here is that, you know, I would study the Quran because the imam, we call them the free world men coming from the free world. We call them the H&I, hospitals and institutions. People bring meetings into the prisons. The imam for the Muslims would come in every week on Friday when it's Juma. He would come into the prison system, and when he found out that I could speak Arabic, he asked me would I teach the brothers in the prison system how to say the prayers from in the Quran from English into Arabic. And I did that for a long time. Now, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know how far this radio station goes, and I don't know who me what I'm saying.
It goes up and down the coast.
But I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I went through some changes with my imam at that time.
Yeah.
Because I was myself and this Christian guy, this young black guy,
yeah,
was a Christian.
Yeah.
He would always read his Bible, and I would go. We would be on the rec yard, at the picnic table. He's on one end of the picnic table reading his Bible. I didn't even know the gentleman. He's reading his Bible, and I'm reading the Quran. And me and a couple of brothers, we sitting there, we speaking on the Quran. And me and this young guy, we started just conversating. And he started telling me things about the Bible. And at that time, I would contradict just about everything he's saying, because that ain't what the Quran says. You know, I'm a firm believer in the Quran. That's what the Quran says. I'm not believing what this gentleman told. But as time went on, I started, like a little light in the back of my head started coming on.
Mm-hmm.
That it might be some truth to what this young man is saying to me, you know? And I don't have to be right all the time. And I started looking into what this gentleman was saying. And from the time he was sitting on this end of the picnic table and I'm on this end of the picnic table, it's like we just started coming closer together. And he's telling me stuff about the Bible. I'm telling him stuff. I'm comparing it with the Quran. My imam, the gentleman I told you that comes from the free world.
Now, an imam is like a pastor.
Right. Imam, he's a teacher.
Teacher.
The imam comes in, and he gives me literature that he wants me to translate to the gentleman, to the guys in prison, the Muslim brothers in prison. And I started doing that, and I did it for a while. But when I got to the point where I started seeing that some of this literature that is being brought to me doesn't line up.
Mm.
It's not lining up with the Bible or the Quran. And what I started coming to the understanding is that he's putting his own twist on this literature.
Mm.
And while him putting his own twist on this literature, it's not coming from the Quran. So I started feeling like I'm teaching brothers
lies.
Lies.
Yeah.
True lies, you know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
Well, there must
and
be
when he came,
some... Yeah, go ahead.
When the imam came in that following Friday for Juma, 12 o'clock is Juma, came in that Friday for Juma, he was there like 15, 20 minutes earlier before the time for Juma, and I had a talk with him. And I told him, because he brought more literature. He handed me more literature. I backed away. I said, Aki. In Arabic, Aki means my brother in Arabic. I said, Aki, I can't take that literature. He's like, Kwawi, what's wrong? Kwawi means my name in Arabic, right? He said, Kwawi, what's wrong? I said, Aki, this literature doesn't line up with the Quran, nor does it line up with the Holy Bible. This literature is based on your interpretation. You're putting things into this literature.
Did he get mad?
Oh, what? Did he get mad? I told him that I was denouncing Islam
because Why'd you do that?
I had to do that because I've been lying to these brothers the whole time. I've been lying to these brothers.
So his push to make you more to lie made you go the other way.
I went the opposite way, right. And I started talking to the brother with the Bible, you know. But when I denounced Islam, conflict came amongst me. I was like a marked man in prison.
Oh, from
but
the other
so
Muslims.
Many of the, so many of the Muslim brothers, once I told them, most of the Muslim brothers believe me. And when he tried to put marks on me, like want them to do something to me,
yeah,
it wouldn't happen.
Really?
It wouldn't happen.
So they had a core of truth within them.
Right. It, because I showed them. I showed them in the book. You know, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say. And I go back and look at all this other literature that he's been giving me over time. And it's not corresponding with the Quran. I'm just believing that because he's a man he's a imam, he's a teacher, mm-hmm. that what he's saying is automatically true. But it wasn't. So that's when myself and the Christian brother, I started learning, studying from him with him, you know? And when after time went on, it was a lot of the brothers that was in the Muslim community. I don't know if they just denounced Islam. They just stopped going to Juma.
Did you lead them to Jesus?
I couldn't lead them to Jesus because I'm learning myself.
Later on, maybe you did.
I talked to a lot of them about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I talked to, like, the brother helped me with the sinner's prayer, you know? Repent my sins, you know what I'm saying? The things that I was going through that I didn't know of, you know? And that's why I look at it. That's why I look at my higher power, which is with God of my understanding. I look at it like there's a reason for me being at that table at that particular time.
Amazing.
You know, God put me there.
So none of the Muslims took the direction of the iman, and they did.
It was a couple of them that was steadfast. No.
They just weren't nice to you.
No. You know, they talk about me and stuff like that, you know, but it's okay.
Yeah, but you know what? You're a little guy. How tall are you?
No, I was. Let me show you some pictures of me. You wouldn't believe how big I was in prison. When I left prison after 26 years, I was 271 pounds.
270? And how tall are you?
5'9". I was 271 pounds.
That's what I weigh, and I'm 6 foot three. Yeah,
I was 271 pounds.
You were huge.
When I got out of prison, I did a lot of push-ups. Because of my hands, I couldn't lift a lot of weights. But I did a lot of push-ups, a lot of the Mike Tysons. There were exercises that Mike Tyson used to do. We do them with the playing cards, with a deck of playing cards. You shuffle the cards, and you flip the card over. If it says five, you go and do five Tyson, you know, squats. And then you take your card and you flip it over again. You go to the other end, you flip the deck over. But say eight, you do eight, you know, until we go through the whole deck. And I got big. I got real big from in prison. But when I came home.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open, 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Nana Morrison Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Nana Morrison Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on religious liberty news on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
come on and praise his name. Come on, come on and bless him.
mouth. Every nation, nation will bow.
And we'll proclaim, proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll proclaim, proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. When we
earth. In that day, is our God. In that day, people will proclaim, this is our God. This is the Lord, whom we trust. This is our God. This is the Lord, whom we trust. This is our God. Oh Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my, you are my God. Oh Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my, you are my God. You are a tower of refuge to the poor and needy, O Lord. You are a tower of refuge poor and needy, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord. O Lord, I will honor and praise your name. You are my, you are my God. Rest on Jerusalem. The Lord's hand of blessing will rest on Jerusalem. The Lord's hand of blessing will rest on you.
To the water, you who thirst, and you'll thirst no more. Come to the Father, you who work, and you'll work no more. And all you who labor in vain, to the broken and shamed, love is here, love is now, love is pouring from His hands, from His brow. Love is near, it's now this place, streams of mercy flowing from His side. Love is here.
is now. Love is pouring from his hands, from his brow. Love is near. Love is here. Love is here.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
As nails were driven in, wrath poured down from heaven with the rain. The power of one broken man would later be revealed in scars that mend, wounds that heal. Was a man who knew no sin, bleeding life into a dying race. The Father's plan of rescue could no longer be concealed in scars that mend and wounds that heal. Scars that mend and wounds that heal, blood that washes white as snow, float crimson down the hill. A picture of eternal love, forever stained and sealed. It's scars that mend and wounds. And death are lifted from the fall. The power of one sacrifice, so gloriously revealed in scars that mend and wounds that heal. Scars that mend. Sealed in scars that mend.
separate. Your love has made a way, and I will praise you. I will praise you.
To the one whose dreams have fallen. Tired and broken heart, I can tell by your eyes you think you're on your own, but you're not alone. Have you heard of the one who can calm the raging sea, give sight to the blind, pull the lame up to their feet, with a love so strong never let you go. No, you're not alone. You will be safe in his arms. You will be safe in his arms. 'Cause the hands that hold the world are holding your heart. This is the promise he made. Did you know that the voice that brings the dead to life is the very same voice that calls you now to rise? So hear him now, he's calling you home. You will never be alone. You will be safe in his arms.
This is Joyce Meyer. You know, many people go through their Christian lives miserable, defeated, and depressed. But I want to show you how God's Word has given each of us joy and victory if we just live life in the Spirit. Join me right here every weekday, and let me show you how you can truly start enjoying everyday life in Christ.
Enjoying everyday life with Joyce Meyer at 7:30 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Makes the broken whole. I believe that the curse is sin.